We turn in our Bibles tonight, please. I always enjoy looking in the Scriptures. Into the book of James. We're going to the book of James. And we want to see some things here tonight that I believe will be a blessing, a help, maybe a strength, an encouragement. May God have His way tonight in your heart. James chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of James. And we appreciate the Word of God. We'll give you some things here. I pray that the Lord will bless you with. In James chapter 4, and we will stand and begin reading tonight at verse number 7. Chapter 4 and verse number 7 of the book of James. He said in the Word of God, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And I've heard people say, "Resist the devil and flee from you," and they just read part of that. I usually mention this every time I go with that verse, just to remind you. Some of you may have never heard it, and some of you may have heard it and didn't hear it. And then some of you, amen, I need to bring it back to your remembrance, you forgot it. And he said, "Submit yourselves," or "Submit yourselves therefore to God." If you don't submit to Him first, you can run, do all you can, try to run the devil off, and he won't leave. But the Bible said in verse 8, "Draw nigh unto God," or "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." And you can be seated. And let's pray tonight. And then we'll pick out a verse and give you a text here tonight, or out of the text, we'll pick out a verse and a little phrase, and may God use it. Father, Lord, undergird us tonight. I pray, God, You'll touch our hearts in a special way without that seasoning. The Spirit of God, Lord, we'll be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And Lord, it won't help us at all. And it'll just be words. But God, tonight, may the message not be just words. But may it be something that comes from the throne of God. Season our heart, Father, with the Spirit. And Lord, let us speak tonight as we wish we had and we stand before the judgment. We give You praise and glory. Have Your own way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text will be found tonight in one of these verses, verse number 8. And here's the words, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." That means if you come near God, God will come near you. That means if you get close to Him, He'll get close to you. In my course of traveling for the Lord down through the years, I found out if I take one step toward Him, He takes two toward me. I take another step and He takes two more. God is more than willing and more than able tonight to get where I need, to get where I am when I come to Him. The Bible said He would never leave us nor forsake us, and He tells us tonight that if we come to Him, He will no wise cast us out. So the Lord wants your presence, whether you want His presence or not. It's a common thing today that we want to get as far away from God as we possibly can and still be His. But God wants us to be in His divine presence, as John was, leaning upon His bosom. John was a close disciple. The Lord wants us close. He wants us to have a close relationship to Him. The closer we can be to God, the better off we'll be for ourselves and for our family and for our community and for our church. So I want to look at some things tonight that sometimes we let get between us and God. Some things as we look in the Scriptures, I'm going to give you several Scriptures, and we're going to use our Bible more. And I pray tonight we'll take these verses and read them together. I want to give you some things tonight that I believe a lot of Christians. Now, if you're not saved, you can't get close to God no how. except in repentance, crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But if you're saved, and that's the people that he's talking to in the book of James here, because he said, brethren, we need to come close to him, and he wants us to be in his very divine presence. But there's some things that keeps us from being there. I'll just get down to the point. I want you to take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll use our Bible to look at some things tonight. The prophet Isaiah, he had gotten to a place that there was some division, or there was some separation. There was some things between him and God. Brother, if there's anything between you and God tonight, you're going to have problems and you can't get things done. Now in chapter 6 and verse number 5 of Isaiah, we find that as we see it, or chapter 6 and verse 5, he said, verse 5, then said I, woe is me. He said, for I am what? Undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And it wasn't until the Lord touched his lips, amen, with the live coal off the altar of God, that Isaiah began to speak. I found out in days gone by that a lot of things that keep people, the saints of God especially, from being close to God are those hounding sins of the past. If I've run into this once, I've run into several times. People have come to me and they've said to me, preacher, I just cannot get rid of the past. I've got sins in my past, and I don't know anybody in this building that don't have. Amen. You said, preacher, mine's on the blood. Well, thank God for it. And as a lot of people, I believe, have put them under the blood. They've told me this before. They said, preacher, I've sinned in the past, and there's some things that's haunting me and hounding me. And I can't get away from it. And when I lay down at night, God shows me what I've done. And I'm going to tell you, it's not God, it's the devil. And he shows me some things that I've done in the past. And I say, I can't be used of God till that is settled. And they confess it again. And they confess it again. And days go by and they confess it again. And some people are still trying to confess sins that they confessed 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years ago. But those same sins are hounding them. Beloved, you're going to have to get rid of that. You're going to have to get it under blood and get up and go on. And that's exactly what happened to Isaiah. He got the place, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I need your touch to clean me up and use me for the glory of God. Now, if you're going to let past sins hound you tonight, you're not going to be effective and you're not going to get close to God. And you need to get rid of that tonight, so you can get all the channels clean between you and the Lord. Secondly tonight, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see in 1 Corinthians something here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want us to go to verse number 27. The Bible said this. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, giving you time to turn, he said, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want you to think about that just for a minute, and turn to the book of Ephesians at the same time, and we'll put this together. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, that's cautiously, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, not only do we have a hounding of the past sins of our lives, sometimes it bothers us, but we find that there's a slackness of the present. Not only can you have some sins that you won't turn loose, and you won't admit that God's done forgive you of it and is washed and put under the blood and forgiven, and you're letting those hound you, but you're thinking about the present that you're in now and how slack you've become and how slack you are, and that can keep you from the very presence of God. In other words, not being in the center of God's will, not doing what God wants you to be doing, not with a clean channel. You're not going to be able to have that fellowship with the Lord, and so you can't draw nigh to Him. And if you can't draw nigh to Him, He can't draw nigh to you. God will never come to you. He'll never get close to you until you get close to Him. That's what the book says. Now the third thing tonight, we have another struggle. I want us to go to chapter 73 of the book of Psalms. Now these are little simple things that a lot of people are losing a lot of victory in their life off of. Past sins that they will not allow God to convince them that they're under the blood. And then being slack on God and not doing what you ought to be doing present. Most of us know tonight that we're not where we ought to be. You know that and I know that. You can tell when you're not close to God. You can tell when God's not close to you. You can tell when the channel is broken. You can tell when the fellowship's missing. And so you don't have to be reminded of it. The Holy Spirit does that for you. But in Psalm chapter 73, you read the whole chapter when you get home. I'm not going to read a lot of it, but we will read some of it. In chapter 73, David says, or Asaph says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. That means God's good to us if we've got a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps has well nigh slipped. And then notice what verse 3, and here's why he is there. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here's another thing that can divide you from God, is thinking about those neighbors, those people that you know that got things better than you got. More income coming in, more houses, more land, more vehicles, better clothes, better food and all that. And when you see the prosperity of the wicked, especially when they don't go to the house of God, and the wicked don't go. Amen. And they don't put anything in for God. They don't do anything for the Lord. Their lives are just seem to be in prosperity. He said in verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Everything's a happy-go-lucky for them. They're getting everything they want when they want it. The prosperity of the wicked can keep you from getting close to God. You just let that harbor in your heart and mind, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be separated from God. He said, they are not in trouble as other men. In verse 5, verse 6 said, therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could it wish. Amen. You ever seen people say, oh, they got more than they'll ever need. They got more than ever need. And usually a Christian will say, hey, if I had what they got, I wouldn't have to worry about a thing. And you know what I say to that Christian? You don't have to worry about a thing anyhow. God will take care of you. Amen. I've been low a few times and didn't have no money in my pocket, none in the bank. Wondered how I was going to buy the next meal. I've been there. And I didn't know how you're going to pay your bills. But after all these years, I look back and they're all paid. Hadn't had to beat nobody yet. Amen. I had to make a few arrangements. Amen. That's what you do when you don't have it. But I found out God is able. I never will forget this. I bought a van back 100 years ago. And somebody talked me into buying it. Somebody in the church had it. And they was going to have to get rid of it. And they kind of talked me into getting that van. And they said, preacher, you can use it for a church van. And you can go pick up people. And I thought that pretty good. And crazy as I was about it. Amen. Nobody helped me pay for it either. We picked up people. Went to get people and brought them to the house of God. And then it got kind of tough and tight. And I didn't know how to get, and I just did not believe in letting them have it back. Matter of fact, I didn't particularly care for the vehicle, but I wasn't about to let it be turned back into them. So I went down to the bank, scared to death. Here's an old poor preacher went down to the bank and I said, I got to talk to you. I said, I can't make this month's payment. I struggled every month and I can't make this month's payment. He said, can you pay anything? I said, I'd pay a little. What can you pay? And I said, I think I'd pay about $30.
Payment was a little, I think it wasn't but about $50-$60. And that's a big payment, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to have a car payment now like that? Amen. But anyhow, I said to him, I said, he said, well, that's fine. You got it with you? I said, yeah, I'll write you a check. He said, write me a check. And he wrote me I wrote him a check, and he took I'd never seen this before in my life. Some of y'all may have had it done. But he took that payment and tore it out, stuck it over in the back, and stapled a staple through it. And I said, what are you doing? He said, you just paid the interest for this month, and you can make that payment when you get to the end. And I looked at him, I said, you can do that? He said, I just did it. I said, well, thank God. I quit worrying about it. You don't have to worry about nothing no how. Amen. The only time I ever had to do that, God took care of the rest of the time. I believe you just wanted to teach me a lesson. Just think about it. God knows how to do things. God knows how to do what we need done. But here Asaph is saying in this psalm, he's saying, hey, when I look at the prosperity of the wicked, nothing seems to bother them. They never get sick. Nothing ever gets a hold of them. Nothing ever tires up. They've got the best. It seems like everything they put their hand to is just like they're born with a silver spoon. It's multiplied on top of everything, and they got everything. Listen, that can get you to the place, if you look at that tonight, that can keep you from being close to God. Did you know it? You've allowed it to do it a few times, hadn't you? Then there's something else that does it. I want you to look at this. I'll give you several places on this in Psalm 66. You should be close to it there. In Psalm 66. Look and see what David said in verse 18. In verse 18 of 66, David said, if I regard, that is, accept and allow it to be there, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. David said, if I got sin in my life, it's going to separate me from God. If I've got present sin in my life, did you know the practice of present sin in your life can keep God's presence away from you? You can pray all day long and all night long. You can weep, you can cry, you can run, you can lay in the floor, you can waller like a dog. But I want to tell you tonight, you'll never get your prayers answered. They'll never get past the ceiling. Because you got sin in your life, practicing sin. Now Isaiah 59, please turn there. Isaiah 59, you said we already was in Isaiah. Yeah, but we're going to a different place this time. Isaiah 59. The Bible said in Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Thank God for that. Amen. That means God can save anybody. I mean, He can reach further down than we can ever think about reaching up. He said that it cannot say, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Ain't you glad that God can always reach you and He can always hear you? Amen. I've been reading and studying the Word of God, and I've been talking to the Lord at the same time. And all these years and prior and previous to everybody else doing the same thing, God has not yet bought Himself a hearing aid. He can still hear. Amen. I have a problem with that. My ears wear out. Yours do too. But He has no problem. Verse 2 said, But your iniquities, that is sins, transgressions, have separated between you and your God. Has separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you. Practicing of sin in your life right now. Brother, we'll allow God not to hear you. Would you turn to Micah? Micah chapter 3 and verse number 4. Micah chapter 3 and verse number 4. Find the book of Jonah and go over one. It's the book after Jonah. Micah chapter 3. And verse number 4, God said this, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves all ill in their doings. Have you ever been to the throne of God and you felt like God was hidden? And He's hid Himself from you and you couldn't hear Him answer you and you couldn't reach Him because of sin in your life. And then there's another thing tonight that will keep us from drawing nigh to God or keep God from drawing nigh to us. Matthew chapter 6, please. This is one that I believe is important. All of these are important, but I'm talking about this is one, I guess, it does more damage to you than any of the other. In Matthew chapter 6, they're talking about the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. I want you to look at it. He said in verse number 12, chapter 6 and verse number 12 of Matthew said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." An unforgiving spirit, and I preach this from time to time, it's important. An unforgiving spirit in your heart will keep God from coming nigh, and it'll keep you from going to God. Matter of fact, if you've got an unforgiving spirit, you'll have no desire to get to God because you know you're wrong. Amen. I tell you right now, I walk cautiously before the throne of God. And I don't go boldly. The Bible said come boldly. But I believe that's to those who got sin out of their life. Amen. You ever seen a kid that's kind of sheepish? You know they got they got something wrong. My boys got up, pretty good sized boys and teenagers, and me and my wife would leave them every once in a while and come home. And I'm talking about we didn't leave them and go on a trip. I wouldn't do that. But we'd go get groceries or something. Gives us about, 30, 40 minutes to get out of the house and give them a little liberty. After 30, 40 minutes, you come home and there they're standing. Every one of them, if they didn't come to the door and didn't come out, everything's fine. Note everything is all right. But if we come driving up in the yard and they all come looking, come walking out the door and stand over there looking and looking sheepish, you know they'd got into something. Amen. And so the next thing you know, you open the door and one of them spurts out, "Hey, this and done that and this and done that." Is ready to tell on each other. And brother, I'll tell you what, you start looking sheepish. That's the way you are when you go to the throne of God and you've got sin in your life. You know you're not right. You don't feel comfortable. You got sin in your life, you don't feel comfortable. Now God's words for that tonight, if you can't draw nigh to Him, is this. Remember, repent, and return. That's what God says to the child of God. In other words, we need to have a challenge to our condition. That's why God sends preaching. That's what this is tonight. It's a challenge to your condition. If you're at the place tonight that there's something between you and the Savior, if there's something between you and the Lord, I'm giving you a challenge from the Word of God to get that life straightened out. Not only there be a challenge tonight, it needs to be, but there needs to be a change in our direction. Amen, if we're going to get close to God. Not only do we hear a challenge from the Word of God, but we need to change that. Once we hear a sermon or a message from God that we need to get things straightened out, then it's up to us to get it straightened out. And if we don't, we go and pay the consequence. See, God may be sending a message tonight, somebody that needs to get close to the Lord. Maybe you've got afar off. There's a distance between, there's a barrier between you and God, and you're not where you need to be with God. God's giving you a challenge. He's trying to change your direction. Not only you need to change your direction, your direction tonight, but you need to correct that affection you have for the Savior. And God is the only one that can do that. He can change that for you. Now let's look at the results of being tonight afar off and away from God. You remember Peter? The Bible said he followed the Lord afar off. Was he following the Lord afar off because everything was well between him and the Savior? Was he following the Lord afar off because he was really where God wanted him to be? No. Why was he following the Lord afar off? He had just denied the Lord three times. He had just said, "I know not to man." He just said with an oath, "I know not this man." And so now there's a barrier between him and God, and so he came. That's why he followed the Lord afar off. How come John was close to the Son of God at the foot of the cross when Jesus was being crucified? Because there was nothing between him and the Savior. Got me? Nothing between Him and the Savior. So let me give you this. We've already come to the conclusion, and I've already said it in a roundabout way, that when you have a barrier, then you have unanswered prayer in your life. Amen. I don't want my prayers to be thrown to the side. I want heaven to be opened when I speak. When I say our Father, I want Him to know who's speaking. I want to keep the channel clean. I want to keep the channel clear. I don't want nothing between me and the Savior tonight that'll keep me from being able to talk to Him and get in His divine presence. I love that throne room. It's a blessed place to be. It really is. Now, there's something else that we'll find the evidence of it, and that is we have vain worship. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Since you're close to that place now, Matthew chapter 15, I want us to look at verse number 8. We find tonight that the hypocrites, all those Sadducees and Pharisees and the scribes were there. And in verse number 8, this is what Jesus said about it. Verse number 7, He called them what they are. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy to you, saying, Amen. He called them hypocrites. He said in verse 8, This people draweth nigh unto me with their what? Mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They're praising God, and they're speaking for God, but they don't know God. Amen. They just don't. They're not nigh Him. And in verse number 9, it said, But in vain they do what? Worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, in the Word of God here, they had a vain worship. Their worship wasn't real. It's like people in the church today. They sing in the choir. Some sing in the choir. Some shout the victory. Some wave their hands. But everybody does that. It's not real. Amen. Now, don't let that bother you. I hope tonight that don't bother. If it bothers you, you've got a problem already. Amen. You can preach on that to some people and they say, Bless God, I don't never say amen no more. I don't never wave my hand no more. I don't sing in the choir no more. All you're doing is picking yourself out and telling everybody what you are. Amen. What Jesus called them, hypocrites. Hypocrites, somebody that thinks and says there's something when they're not that. And so I'm saying to you tonight, these people, they draw nigh to Him with their lips and with their body, but, you know, they did not draw nigh to Him with their heart. Their heart was so far away from Him. And they could sing, they could worship, but their worship was in vain. And that's what it'll do to you. Amen. They could sing and shout and testify, but amen, no spirit in it. I like them little testimonies. Amen. I like them down at the house of God down here. Amen. And when somebody says, Preacher, I got something to say. And they can't help it. And they have to say it. And then sometimes they have to say it again. Sometimes they have to say it again. Amen. That's because the Spirit. And their worship is not in vain. All right? Something else. Not only will they have vain worship, but they'll have vain religion. Look at Jude, please. I want you to look at Jude. You got Revelation, amen, and then right before Revelation is the book of Jude. Jude only has one chapter. I want to read two verses. Verse number 12 and verse number 13. And the Lord claims and calls these this tonight. He says, These are spots in your feast. They're spots in the feast in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Amen. You be in the hot summertime and a cloud comes through and you said maybe we're going to get a shower. It gets dark, looks like it's going to rain, and it goes right on over your head and not even a mist gets out of it. He said these folks are like a cloud. They were without water. Ain't got nothing. They look good and look like they're going to give a shower, but there's nothing in them. He said, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. This is vain and dead religion. Amen. said in verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They're wandering stars. Amen. I pastored a lot of them down through the years. Wandering stars. Not wandering, but wandering. Amen. Moving around from place to place. Wandering stars. And so they got vain religion. They got vain worship and vain religion. And actually, they're like sheep that go astray. They've come to place. If you, as a child of God tonight, get away from God and lose connection with the Lord and lose touch with God, you're like a wandering sheep or a stray sheep. One that goes away from Him and wanders off from the fold. It ain't going to be long as a child of God. You're going to get out there. You're going to think you know where you're going. You're going to be headed in the direction you want to go. And you may feel loose and fancy free. But somewhere down the road, you're going to get the place you know that you're in trouble and you can't get back. And you're going to have some help. And brother, I'll tell you, we may be there tonight. Some of you may be there. You may be at the place that you may not can get to where you need to be. And I say to you tonight, you need to get that channel clean. Now I want us to go back to James, please. Just for a moment, in the book of James. I want us to read a verse of Scripture, read this back over again as we look at it. Hebrews, then James. James chapter 4, go back to verse 8. He says what? Draw nigh. That means what? Come close. Notice this. Verse 7, he said, submit yourselves. In verse 7, he said, resist the devil. In verse 8, he said, draw nigh to God. Verse 8, he said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And verse 8, he said, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Then he said, in verse 9, be afflicted. And he said, mourn. And thirdly, he said, weep. Then he said, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Then he said in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And then he said, verse 11, speak not evil one of another. There's a lot of commands. And if you want to get the channel clean tonight, you're going to have to do them, all of them, or one of them, whatever's a problem in your life. Amen. Draw nigh. I like it again. Verse 8, draw nigh to God. Come near God. Come close to God. And He will draw nigh to you. He will come close to you. Amen. Goes along with what I said. You honor God in His work and God will honor you. You bless the Lord and God will bless you. Amen. You honor God's house and God will honor you. Amen. It just goes on and on. Amen. And I believe tonight we need to do what we can to get close to Him. I want us to stand tonight. And I want us to sing a song. I want us to sing that song tonight. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And I hope tonight you can sing it with all your heart. I hope you can say tonight, there's nothing between me and my Savior. There's nothing between me and the Lord. And if there is something, I pray tonight you'll come and get it settled. You'll come and get it done.